36. Upstairs, the son of a bitch sincerely hoped they'd reached the bottom, opened the pack, and seen the timer by now. He'd hated to do it to them, but there really was no other choice. They'd looked strong and fit, and if they'd made it this far through the night without dying, he figured, it was reasonable to think they'd be resourceful enough to get themselves out in time. He truly believed that. Or maybe he just decided to believe it. As for himself, things didn't look promising. He finally had his fingers on the butt end of the machine pistol, but the darkness kept creeping in around the corners of his consciousness every time he moved. The kind of pain he'd experienced in moving his body 12 inches across the gravel had been entirely new to him, an intensity of discomfort he hadn't dreamed possible. Still, he'd managed to get his hand on the gun, and with one last superhuman effort, he brought it up, off the ground, aiming it unsteadily at the last three motorcycles and squeezing the trigger. The Heckler & Koch could hold magazines of either 15, 30, or 40 rounds, but Roberto didn't know which was in at the moment. There's no way Trini would have left him with just 15, but the 40 had an extra couple of inches that made the gun harder to maneuver, so he was betting on 30. The first two-shot burst collapsed the front end of the first bike, which toppled over into the second. As the second bike fell away from him, he closed one eye and aimed for its rear tire, but on its side, it now offered a more slender angle. It took three shots for him to be certain that bike was disabled, and when it fell, it left a clear path to the third bike. That one was farthest away, and the thermal imaging goggles weren't helpful with no heat coming off the thing, so he sprayed four shots along the length of the Harley to be sure it was left unusable. If his count was true, he had used 14 shots, which left him with 16 for anybody who came out the door. Behind him, he heard voices. He arched his head back again, digging the back of his skull into the gravel, and looking at the door to the lobby, upside down through the heat vision goggles. He blinked the sweat out of his eyes and could make out figures coming this way, a man and a woman in front and someone behind them. They'd heard the gunshots and were running. The man and woman were infected. They glowed red hot. Not quite as vivid as Dr. Friedman had been, but clearly alive with mutating fungus. The figure behind them looked normal, but the angle of his arm suggested that he had a gun. Roberto sucked in his breath, and with a great groan of pain, he flopped the machine pistol over onto his chest. Gritting his teeth so hard he thought he might crack a molar, he slid the gun up the length of his body and over his left shoulder, trying to get the barrel as far away from his ear as possible. That wasn't very far, maybe 6 inches at the most. The lobby door swung open inward. The man was in front of the woman, a blurry, red-hot target almost impossible to miss. Roberto knew that as soon as he fired, the others would start to disperse, so it was going to have to be three very short and precise bursts of gunfire, rather than one long one. He squeezed the trigger as the first man came out the door. Ironhead's chest exploded and he staggered back into Cuba. That was a bit of bad luck for Roberto, as it meant his aim was obscured, and he'd need to take a moment to wait for another clean window. He found it quickly as Cuba moved to the side, against the doorframe, burdened by Ironhead's weight as he fell, dead, into her. Three shots had been spent on Ironhead, and four more ought to take out Cuba quickly enough. Two of them hit her, but the gun's recoil triggered a spasm of hideous pain in Roberto's back. His hand twitched, and the gun jumped to the side. The other two shots hit the door jamb, shattering the lower hinge and sparking off its metal surface. One of the slugs ricocheted back at Roberto, slamming into the dirt just a few inches from his face. Ironhead and Cuba fell backward out of his line of fire, but the few seconds he'd used to adjust his aim had given the third guy time to flee. Griffin was on the move, heading for the front desk, and was nearly there already. Roberto sucked his breath in, held it, and fired unsteadily at Griffin as he vaulted over the counter. Roberto counted seven shots, all of which went wide of their mark, smashing through the broken drywall behind the counter but missing Griffin. Somehow, the lucky bastard had threaded the needle. He'd made it over the counter unhurt and landed on the other side, out of harm's way. Shit. Roberto had just used, to the best of his knowledge, 28 shots, which left just two in the clip. There was an armed man who had taken cover behind a wooden counter that completely obscured him, and Roberto still couldn't get off the ground. The situation was less than ideal. Roberto blinked as something pattered under the lens of the goggles. He looked up at the sky, and a few drops of water appeared in his field of vision, accompanied by a low rumble somewhere in the distance. It was starting to rain. Hearing a sound from his left, Roberto turned and looked over at the body of Dr. Stephen Friedman. The green globules of fungus were swelling outward off his dead flesh, ballooning up as the raindrops hit them as if activated. Cordyceps novus greeted the rain with unbridled joy. The fungal mass, re-energized, dripped off the dentist and moved, expanding across the gravel driveway on the light carpet of water that the rain was laying down. It moved toward Roberto.